So this is very an important month of the year. It's called Kartik. In fact, not only important, but very holy month. A month where there is more Krishna conscious festivals, appearances of great personalities, disappearances of great personalities. Actually, today is the disappearance day of three great personalities, Srinivas Acharya, Gadadhar Das, and Dhananjaya Pandit. This morning we spoke on each of these personalities as part of the Srimad Bhagavatam class. And it goes on. There's Govardhan Puja was part of this month, Prabhupada's disappearance day, and so many Diwali, and also the disappearance day of Gaurakishore Das Babaji will be coming up on Ekadasi in a few days. Bhishma Panchaka. So it's a wonderful opportunity for making spiritual advancement. And we want to make spiritual advancement. People want to make material advancement to better their material position, to get more money, get some more prestige, get a better living condition, get better health, more influential friends, more material things to occupy one's time. So the betterment of life is a principle of life to better oneself. But there's a principle which is called time. And time is interesting. There have been great discussions in the history of the world. In fact, in India many years ago, there was a huge conference, and the subject was time. The Dalai Lama came, and many other prestigious religious leaders not only came, spoke, but submitted long papers discussing the principle of time. And the conclusion was that nobody can understand really what time is. It's imperceptible. It's what we say, a principle that cannot be described in words, but can be tried to understood through its nature, its action. Now, Krishna lives outside of time. Krishna is not within time. Time is divided into three categories: past, present, and future. And for us, present is the reality. Past is something that no longer exists, and future is something that will happen. But we live in the present. So we live in one aspect of time. Of course, people sometimes allow their minds to go into the past, to reevaluate the past, to grieve over the past, lament about the past. And so a lot of time people leave the present and go into the past just to somehow or other find some mental satisfaction, peace, something, some answers to some questions. The study of history is one of the biggest studies within the world's educational institution, to how to study history, to learn from the past, to not to make mistakes in the present by studying the mistakes we did in the past. And so people go, their minds go in and out of time. We go into the past. We live in the present, and we usually dream about the future, that the future will always be better, right? That's the dream of all persons in this world. It's got to get better. And that's a principle of life. It just, It can't get any worse in some cases, but so it can only get better. But in general, people live in the future and miss the present. But in the spiritual realm, there's only one aspect of time. Time doesn't exist, but the quality of present is always all-pervading. It's always the present. There's no question of past or future. Because the element of time is something that brings something about. Like we get a body when we're a little child. We're called born. So there's a time part where we're born. And as the body grows, goes through different phases of life, these are called different chapters within our time life. And so we're measuring our experiences, and things are always, always changing. But in the spiritual world, nothing changes because everything is always in the present. So how do we understand spirituality within the world of what we say, ever-changing? Because Krishna, although he lives outside of time, he appears within time and brings something outside of time within time. Does that make sense? In other words, when he comes, he brings the spiritual world with him. Yadahi dahi comes to bring about what we say, a change in the lives of the conditioned souls by bringing back religious principles. But he also performs his pastimes. And those pastimes are called Nitya Lila. Nitya means eternal, and Lila means activities. The activities of the Lord are eternal. Now, his activities in the spiritual world are always going on, constantly. And they are beyond our perception. We cannot understand what's going on in the spiritual world. We hear about it from the acharyas, the great souls, from the scriptures, from so many other sources. But then Krishna brings that eternal activities into our present reality. Now, it appears he does something, and the movements of time are bringing things about and changing things. But that's just our perception, because we see things in terms of linear. We see things in terms of how things go from one thing to another. Just like there'll be a class now, and then after the class there'll be kirtan. After kirtan there's damodar, and after damodar there's prasadam, and after prasadam there's, you know, discussions amongst everybody. And then you go home, and tomorrow you go to work, right? Some of you. So, you know, it's time. Some of us don't work. So time is just keeps moving in one. But when Krishna comes and performs his pastimes, they appear to be within time, but they're not. Just like right now, Krishna is somewhere on the battlefield of Kurukshetra instructing Arjuna about the eternal principles of Dharma. Somewhere, not in this particular universe, but somewhere that same pastime that Krishna performed about 5,000 years ago is going on somewhere else. To give you an example, just like it's 4:15 now here, but somewhere it's 4 o'clock, and somewhere it's 5:30, and somewhere it's 9 o'clock. In other words, all 24 hours are somewhere within the created universe going on right now. In other words, every part of the day is being experienced by some persons in some places of the world. And if you were to go there, you would be in that time. So it's just like, therefore, it's 4:15 now, 4:15 here now, and somewhere else it'll be 4:15. So 4:15 is always there. 4 o'clock is always there. All the time elements are always there somewhere in the material world. That's just a material example. to help us understand that Krishna's pastimes are going on somewhere in this created cosmos, just like he performed them here. They're outside of time, but they exist within the realm of time, but at the same time outside of time. So when we enter into Krishna's leelas, by hearing about Krishna's leelas, we also, what we say, suspend the time element. We no longer... I remember when I was a kid, I found this plaque. I don't know where I got it, and I hung it on my wall, and I really liked it. And it was called Time. And it says, for those who wait, time is slow. For those who rejoice, time is fast. And for those who love, time is eternal. There's no element of time, because love transcends all elements of time. So when we go into spiritual consciousness, we go into that realm that is beyond the realm of time. So by hearing about Krishna's pastimes and discussing Krishna's pastime, we enter into the real realm of timelessness. Material time will go on. This body is under the influence of time, but the soul is not. The soul is not under the influence of time because the soul is of the same quality of Krishna. Therefore, the soul is also transcendental to all material consideration, including the element of time. So we're timeless by nature. We are not affected by time, but our bodies are. And therefore, when we identify with our bodies, we identify with the changing elements of existence. But the soul never changes, and Krishna never changes, and Krishna's pastimes are eternal. And our relationship with those pastimes are also eternal, if we want them. So we can enter into the realm of eternality and be free from the realm of, what we say, all-devouring time. Because time is, just takes away everything. Prabhupada says, speaking in the material sense, time has six features. Something begins, something grows, something stays, something produces, something dwindles, becomes less, and then it vanishes. These are the six changes of time. And if you study anything in this world, everything is subjected to these six changes. But because we are spiritual beings, we're not subject to time. But we live in the world of time, and therefore we're influenced about time. So how to use time in such a way that we become timeless? Well, you might, it's not about throwing your watch away. That's not the whole, that's not the idea. I'm timeless and I just throw my watch away. That's not it. We become, when we hear and chant the glories of the Lord, we enter into the realm of timelessness, because they say, just like if you get close to fire, the closer you get to fire, say there was a fire in one corner of the room. Now those who are close to the fire, they're hot. Those on the other side of the room, they may feel a little warmth. But if those persons on the other side get closer, then the warmth of the fire becomes increased. The fire is not changing. It's our experience of the fire that changes because we're getting closer to it. So as we come into the realm of the spiritual realm, we also become affected by that same energy. And therefore, we're no longer affected by the material energy. Just like if you're cold, that's one element. But if you get closer to the fire, you get warm and cold is gone. So as we come closer to Krishna in devotional service, we also become transcendental, because that is our nature, actually. And therefore, we're getting closer. So this time element is a fear element for the materialists. Just like sometimes people criticize us, well, why do you Hare Krishnas talk about death all the time? Don't you talk about some nice subjects? Well, we talk about death because it's a reality, that's why. And the materialists don't want to hear about that type of reality. They just want to hear about how you can enjoy the material world. And if you talk about death, that means the end of your plans for enjoyment. So. But the realm of consciousness is the realm of reality, not the realm of physical proximity. Does that make sense? Where you are is not what you experience. What your consciousness is what you experience. Two people can be in the same place and be doing almost the same thing, but depending on the nature of their consciousness, they perceive the activities and the place differently. So one can be totally immersed in Krishna, and the other one can be totally immersed in something material. So one is under the influence of the time factor, and the other one is not. Just like it says, when you come to the platform of serving Krishna, then when this body no longer is able to function, that's called death, you leave the body, and what do? When you get to your next destination, you do the same thing. You serve Krishna. So the activities doesn't change. It's just the location. And maybe the location is better opportunity for serving Krishna. So staying in the material world within the time factor is a fearful realm of existence because everyone's afraid of time. Right? Everyone's afraid that they won't have enough time to fulfill their plans, right? Prabhupada talks about the man who's very rich and he's dying. And he's telling the doctor, I give you my fortune, but just give me 4 more years because I have a lot of plans yet. And Prabhupada says, the doctor says, well, the Shastras say, no one can give 4 seconds, what to speak about 4 years. Because everyone is underneath the influence of the time factor, as long as one's consciousness stays within the material world. Because time is like, what do you call it, a herdsman who has sheep. Now what does he do? He moves his sheep from one pasture to another. So the sheep graze in one pasture, and when the pasture no longer has enough grazing ground, he moves the sheep to the next pasture. So time is moving all living beings from one place to another. But we can avoid that movement by putting our consciousness in Krishna. As soon as we put our consciousness in Krishna, we put our consciousness in something that's timeless or beyond the realm of time. And just like I was explaining, somewhere in this material world, Krishna's on the battlefield of Kurukshetra speaking to Arjuna. Somewhere he's stealing butter. Somewhere he's killing, one of the demons. He's doing the same activities that he does in one universe in all the universes. And it's going on just like the clock changes time, but the time is always the same. Because the leelas are eternal, and the time factor or the element of existence is just different places, but it's the same thing. There's nothing changes. So we can enter into that consciousness when we enter into Krishna's leelas. So this month is the pastime of Damodar. Right? Krishna is a little baby, right? Krishna comes in different forms. Angani yasya sakalandriti manti pasyanti panti kalayan chiram jaganti ananda chinmaya ujwala govindam aripurusham tamaham bhajami or advaitam achyutam anari anantarupam adyam puranam purusham navayovanam cha vedeshas durlab abdurlam atma bhakto govindam aripurusham tamaham bhajami. As there are waves coming into the shore constantly, there are unlimited forms of Krishna. Krishna is unlimited, and his forms are also of the same quality, unlimited. But his forms are attractive to different types of people. Some people like Krishna on the battlefield. Some like Krishna who is a little baby stealing butter. Others like Krishna when he's, you know, killing some demons. So there's different. Krishna's the same, but he manifests himself in different forms to perform different activities to attract the conditioned souls back to him in spiritual life, in spiritual consciousness. So this month we focus on baby Krishna, right? I mean, some of us really like babies, right? And some of us don't even want to be around babies. Oh. If you're a mother, it's like your deity, right? You just om namo baby, you know. It's like worship. So we can also worship Krishna as a baby, and we'll get much more benefit out of that, because that kind of baby, he does pass urine on the floor and does kinds of mischief and steals butter and causes so many problems, just like our babies do. But Mother Yasoda, she's loving everything that Krishna does because she's his loving mother. So when this particular month endears the hearts of the devotees to Krishna in this wonderful form as Damodar, and when little kids do mischief, nobody likes it, except the kid. Everybody, oh no, he's at it again. he's, what did he do? He stole something from you. He did this, I don't know, so many things kids do. I forgot what we used to do. I was really a bad kid. Really bad kid. Somehow I got lucky and became Krishna conscious. At least trying. I used to love to do mischief. And then I just like to see the grown-ups get agitated. So I know what it's, you know, I, of course I forgot all about that. And Krishna does the same thing. Krishna does that. And the grown-ups get concerned. And their concern increases their love. Of course, when we do something, it's just a big problem. But when Krishna does something, everybody loves it. Although, at the same time, they get upset. Getting upset is their bhakti, because it's directed to Krishna. There's nothing negative about Krishna. Although Krishna steals butter, passes urine on the floor, lies, does so many things, it's sweet. Now, what kid can do that and still be worshipped? Even if it's your own kid, you don't think, well, you know, it's really wonderful you're lying and passing urine all over the place. You don't think like that. You think, oh, God, I got to clean it up. It's a mess. He's always in trouble. But when Krishna does it, because Krishna's God, and he's so sweet when he does it, it attracts the hearts. Just like one of the qualities of Krishna's Makan Cho. And he steals butter. Now, how can God steal something when it belongs to him, when everything belongs to him? You can't steal something that belongs to you. But it seems like he's stealing. And he gets tied up for it. His mother gets upset. And so many things, he runs away. But it's so sweet when we hear about it. And you know, not only do we hear about it once, we hear about it over and over and over. And each time it gets nicer. That's the nature of transcendence. That's the nature of spiritual time. In the time factor in this world, when you do something, even if it's nice, you do it again, it's still a little nice. You do it again, and then, oh, wonderful sweet ball. Wow, thank you. I'll take another. Oh, that's just no more. Excuse me. This realm is limited. You can only do something nice once in a while. Yeah. And it keeps changing. But in the spiritual world, the same activity gets better. Even though you do it over and over and over, just like the example of the Hare Krishna mantra. Some people say, God, you're just chanting the same thing all the time. How is it? When someone asks Prabhupada, what do you get from chanting? And Prabhupada said, chanting. We chant, and we get more inspired to chant more. Now that's spiritual. That means that's not within the time factor. Something within the time factor gets old, gets worn out. You want to do something different, right? You know, that's the way the material world works. Nobody's satisfied doing the same thing. They just keep changing. Or if they do the same thing, they're just like, all right, I'll do the same thing. Because they don't know what else to do. Jai Sisi Panchitattva Ki Jai. I mean, we see Panchatantra all the time, but every time we see it, it's nice. When you look at your husband every day, you think it's not always this. You always think, "Wow, you look better every day." And it's not like that. But Panchatantra, each experience of a darshan is like the best one, and then the next one is even better than the last one. That's spiritual. That's the difference between material and spiritual. Spiritual is always increasing. Material is always getting old, tired, like that. So we can hear about Krishna's pastimes over and over again. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is Krishna himself, but he's playing the role of a devotee, he listens to Krishna's pastimes. Gadadhar Pandit speaks, and he speaks the leelas, and Lord Chaitanya listens. And then when Gadadhar's done, Lord Chaitanya says, say it again. And he speaks the whole leela again, and then after he's done, he says, say it again. And then it goes on and on and on. It's not like he's trying to just hear it again so he can remember it. Each time, it's sweeter. This is devotional service. The more you do it, the better it gets. That's the thing about devotional service. The more you do it, the better it gets. And then the material life, the more you do it, the worse it gets. Because it gets a little better for a while, then it goes down. Right? You get tired. You just need something new. But in the spiritual world, you can do the same thing over and over again. We can listen to the same sloka in Bhagavad Gita and never get tired. Because the knowledge is eternal, the knowledge is unlimited. That's spiritual. We may not even perceive the nature of spirituality when we're in contact with it, but it's working in such a way as to affect our consciousness, to make us want to experience the same thing more and more, over and over again. So that's the difference between spiritual. And Krishna comes, when he comes to this world, he brings the spiritual world into the material. He brings timelessness into time. And we can enter into timelessness simply by entering into these leelas. I was explaining, I think it was last night, the story of Narottam Das Thakur, great acharya. He came to Jagannath Puri after Lord Chaitanya had disappeared from the planet. He was meeting all the devotees in Lord Chaitanya's entourage who were still left after the Lord had disappeared. One night, he lay down and he fell asleep and he entered into a dream. In the dream, Lord Chaitanya came to him in a dream and was performing Rath Yatra as he had performed it many years ago. And it was this, Lord Chaitanya was dancing with all his devotees in front of Jagannath. And Narottam Das Thakur saw himself in the dream watching the Ratha Yatra. He was seeing the dream, and in the dream he was seeing himself in the dream. And at one point, Lord Chaitanya walked over to him in the dream and invited him to come into the Ratha Yatra Kirtan. In other words, by his spiritual consciousness, he entered into a leela of the Lord that had already apparently passed. But past and future don't exist in spiritual life. It's only present. It's always present. That's why Lord Chaitanya is performing his pastimes right now. And you can enter into that just by hearing these pastimes over and over again. And that gets our consciousness away from the material. And the more we our consciousness is in the spiritual, the more we become fully satisfied. Because only Krishna can satisfy us. Nobody else. Only Krishna can satisfy you. So he's inviting us into Nitya Leela, eternal Leela. So when we perform this Damodar, we sing the song, and we're listening to the, sometimes we speak the translation. And if we listen to this translation, this pastime is going on right now. It's not happened in the past, and we're just hearing about it. It's going on right now. It's an eternal Leela. And we can enter into that same Leela just by spiritual consciousness. And that means absorbing ourselves into Krishna's Leelas. And that's what this month is about. Hearing more and more about Krishna and forgetting about this material world. Sometimes they say if you want to get rid of your problems, there's one way you can do that. Forget about them. Just forget it. Sounds too easy, right? Doesn't sometimes, maybe it sounds a little impractical. But for most problems, if you just forget about them, they go away. It's only when you're reminded about it, oh yeah, I got that problem. Right? You forget about it, it's gone. But if you just, in the material world, if you forget about one problem, there's another one. So you can only replace it by coming into the spiritual consciousness, and then you can easily forget material problems. And then you replace it with spiritual happiness, where there's no problems. Right? You had a nice Govardhan Puja the other day? Yeah. You were really happy, right? Yeah. That's life. Vikalo Karsani was, she wrote me a letter, Maharaj, do you have any information about Govardhan Puja? I sent her a whole bunch. And she did this whole program. She said it was so nice. Everybody was so happy. But that happiness, that experience, is an eternal thing. We can experience that all the time. All the time. So we'll be singing tonight the Damodar Astakam. And when you're offering the lamp, what are you doing? The light? That light is your love. Light, and sometimes we say knowledge is light, darkness is ignorance, love is light, hate is, you know, darkness. Anything good is sometimes connected to something light. So it's the light of our bhakti, which exists within our heart. We're offering it that to Krishna. It's just not a candle. We just go, shoo, 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 shoo. Next. Your turn. It's a little bit more than that. A lot more. It's about offering, you know, our heart to Krishna in the form of this light. And if you do it nicely and perfectly, with complete bhakti, it says you're already liberated just by offering a candle. This is so powerful. The Shastras describe so many verses how much benefit you get from offering this candle. It says that if someone offers a candle and they put it down and their candle falls, and you pick it up and put it back up, you get benefit for picking it up and put it back up. You get some of them, you get also benefit. That's how, if you offer a candle for someone else who can't offer a candle, you get the benefit and they get the benefit also. What is that benefit? We can become more and more attached to Krishna and become free from material life like that. So if we do everything in the mood of pleasing Krishna, offering it very nicely, then as the song is going on and we're listening, we're entering into that mood of devotion. It's very, very sweet. Krishna consciousness is sweet. It's not only sweet, it makes sugar look bitter. Does that make sense? Sugar is supposed to be sweet, but compared to Krishna consciousness, sugar runs. Because it really feels bad how bitter it is in front of Krishna. Because Krishna is so sweet that no one can describe his sweetness. He's the sweetest of the sweet. And Krishna consciousness, or the activities of devotional service, are none different than Krishna. So come out of the world of time, come into the world of timelessness, into the spiritual consciousness. And that's Krishna consciousness. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Pitanya? Questions? Any questions? We'll take some time and we'll wait for questions. Any questions? I can't hear you. Moksha Rupi, what did he say? He's trying to form the convention. Okay. We'll give you some time. We have a lot of time here. Yeah, thank you. Great question. I should have mentioned it. But Krishna left it for you to ask the question. If you go into the refrigerator and you see butter in there and you try to spread it on your bread, it just breaks the bread because it's cold. Right? Oh no, I ruined another piece of bread. So the butter has to be soft in order to put it on the bread nicely, right? Butter's hard and cold. It's not the same. So Krishna wants to steal your heart. But if your heart's cold and hard, doesn't steal it. So you have to make your heart soft like nice butter. And then he steals it. So we want Krishna to steal your heart. So that's the idea. He steals our heart. So make your heart soft like butter, and Krishna will steal your heart because he likes to steal butter. Okay? So that's the hidden pastime. Krishna wants to steal your heart. But if your heart is full of material desires, he won't steal it. But make your heart soft with bhakti, or make your heart soft with Vaishnav qualities, and then Krishna will come and steal your heart. And we like that. And when he steals it, you don't get it back. And you know what? You don't want it back. Because finally found somebody who can appreciate your heart. Because if you give your heart to someone in this world, you know, they might step on it, run their car over it. You make a mess out of it, right? I gave my heart, and now it's gone. It's all destroyed. I got heart disease. I got heartburn. It's we give our hearts to other living beings in this world, and we get disappointed. And sometimes we don't want to give our heart anymore, so we become closed. And we're afraid to give our heart. But you can give your heart to Krishna. And when you make it soft, then he just comes and steals it, whether you give it or not. He likes soft butter. Tasty. It's very sweet. Okay. But bhakti is the process for making the heart soft. The heart, the mind has to be strong. The heart has to be soft. We usually have a hard heart and a weak mind. It's usually what happens, right? I can't think straight, but I hate everybody. No, not devotees don't think like that. But the point is, make your mind strong by hearing and chanting the philosophy of Krishna consciousness and diverting your mind away from material topics, and make your heart soft by offering your bhakti to Krishna. Because Krishna is in your heart. Like that. So we want a strong mind and a weak heart, and a soft heart, not a weak heart. Soft heart. Men, women usually have soft hearts, and men have strong minds, right? So when you mix the two together, you get a nice combination. Right? So that's why a man needs a woman and a woman needs a man, because man's heart is too hard and women's brains are a little bit less strong. Generally. I mean, things are changing. So that's why there's a balance. But you don't need to get married to do that. You can do it simply by developing the qualities of a Vaishnava, which are the qualities of the heart and the qualities of the mind. What are the qualities of the heart? Humility, concern for the welfare of others, charity, compassion, tolerance of others, personal sacrifice. What are the qualities of the mind that are good? To be able to discriminate between what is right and what is wrong, what is eternal, what is temporary, what is beneficial, what is not. Like that. What is ignorance, what is intelligence. Like that. So combine both of those. Like that. So he wants a strong heart. Prabhupada said about himself, he says, I have the mind of an English army officer and the heart of a Bengali mother. If you know Bengali mothers, they're really sweet. They just have really soft, caring hearts. An English army officer, he's got a strong mind. So Prabhupada said, that's what we should be in Krishna conscious. Strong mind, weak heart. Soft heart. Soft heart is a heart of full of compassion, concern about others, concern about Krishna, like that. The heart's soft. If the heart becomes hard, it's like butter you can't spread. And then Krishna won't steal it. So don't let your heart become hard. Keep it soft. But don't let anybody steal it except Krishna. Here's where the mind comes in, to protect the soft heart. Yes. There's a lot of them available. Prabhupada said there's so many, you can just choose one. There's hundreds and thousands of women on. Now, everyone wants what we say relationships in this world. And in this world, to be attracted to the opposite sex is natural. But what we can find in the opposite sex, we can also find that in Krishna, in perfection. So if we become Krishna conscious, then we'll find all the satisfaction we need that we're looking for in other people. Because other people will be, what we say, seen in a different way when we become Krishna conscious. Just like if you're angry, you attract angry people towards you. If you're happy, you meet happy people. Usually your consciousness attracts a certain type of energy. What you put out, you get back. That's how the world works like that. So if we're Krishna conscious, then everybody's nice. We don't need to get married. Because everybody is a spirit soul, and we can have a relationship with each and every person on the spiritual platform and still interact on the material platform. But we're not a marriage counseling agency here. So we can't really solve people's, you know, material concerns. But if we make Krishna our object of love, then we'll find everything we need. And if Krishna wants you to get married, he'll send you a wife. And if Krishna doesn't, he won't. But it's not that you have to go out and look, because if you look and you find something, you may not like it after you get it. Right? They say, those of you who are married, no. After 2 years, things change, right? All the glamour of married life is not the same anymore. It's just, oh, when I first met her, she was Chandramukhi. Now she's Suryamukhi. And then soon she'll be Dwalamukhi. You know, so it just changes. Things change. The young, beautiful lady becomes an old bag. And the young handsome man becomes an old hag. You know, yeah, it's not the same. So physical attraction doesn't really give you any kind of guarantee of happiness. If you're attracted to Krishna, Krishna is always beautiful. He doesn't change. In fact, he gets better as you purify your eyes. Premanjarita bhakti vilochanena santasa daiva ridyesha vilokayanti. We may not love Krishna, but as our bhakti increases, our love for Krishna also increases. So just try to love Krishna, and whatever you need in this material world, you will get it in your love for Krishna. Whatever you need, because Krishna will take care of you. You take care of Krishna, Krishna will take care of you. No problem. But do we have that faith? Do we have that faith? It's a matter of faith. If we have that faith, then whatever we need in this world to live, we'll get, and whatever we don't need, we won't get. And even if we get it, we won't want it. So when they say, when you have Krishna, you have everything. And if you have everything without Krishna, what do you have? You have a lot of problems. Because Krishna is everything. Wherever you see life, that's Krishna. Wherever there's life, there's God. God is life. God is love, God is life. So live life to experience love, and experience love by experiencing Krishna. Prabhupada said, a wino can't wait to get his next bottle. He's drinking, and he's thinking, before he finishes this bottle, he wants the next one. He says, devotees should be the same way. We just get intoxicated on Krishna. We just want more Krishna. Right? Can't get enough of Krishna. Lord Chaitanya, Ram, any of the incarnations, they're just as satisfying. So become Krishna addicted. Okay, anything else? Any other questions? All right, thank you. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.